Monday. Today is December the 2nd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, talks of climate change always get mixed reactions in the agriculture industry. We all know how important weather is to our growing crops, but it looks different as we look around the globe and what that means in the future. We're going to take a look at what both our national and international leaders are saying after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, while the incoming Trump administration will look to scale back U.S. commitments to global climate initiatives, U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack said that would risk putting U.S. farmers at a global disadvantage when American farmers should be championing their climate smart efforts. Now, Vilsack returned late last week from the United Nations Conference of Parties, otherwise known as COP29, that was in Baku, Azerbaijan. Now, that was marked by disputes, however, over the much wealthier countries being willing to pledge to help developing countries, as well as what role the U.S. will play in talks over the next 4 years. In an interview with DTN, Vilsack said U.S. agriculture already has put a lot of investment in reducing greenhouse gases and making agriculture more resilient to extreme weather. Those efforts will continue. He said, I understand there's a lot of uncertainty in any new administration and a lot of angst connected with it, but in terms of actual activities and investment and direction, I think it's not as dire as perhaps some would think. Now, as the outgoing Ag Secretary often likes to highlight, focus on climate change shouldn't just be on potential dire outcomes, but the opportunities that can be created for farmers and ranchers to earn more money for their farming practices. Instead of the doomsday approach, what we've been able to do is say, look, before you go down that road, you have to look at the opportunity side, Vilsack said. It creates multiple income sources for farmers, which is critically important to the 90% of farmers that are having a tough time making it down on the farm. There's a case to be made that supporting climate smart practices is fiscally conservative and saves money over time, he said. Practices such as no-till farming and planting cover crops help improve the resiliency of that farm. You won't, he said, at the end of the day, have the same level of disaster that you could have had, which means less disaster assistance. You won't have had quite the crop loss that you would have had from the droughts of any size because your soil is healthier and more resilient, so you have less potential crop insurance payments, and you've got the additional opportunity of more income coming into farms, which may lessen the need for that kind of support system that keeps these farms afloat when they have difficult prices because of a surplus commodities on the market, the secretary said. Now, Ernie Shee, who's executive director of Solutions from the Land, also attended COP29 with a handful of U.S. farmers. The group hosted events on water, renewable fuels, bioeconomy, and invasive species. She said the discussion on the spread of invasive species showed countries were concerned about how some of these migrating pests were affecting farms. She also said the theme at COP29 meeting seemed to be that while the Trump administration might take a step back, state governments, local governments, and private sector will continue their efforts to reduce emissions and focus on sustainability. We've been down this road before, she said, and most of our emphasis is how do you deal with reality and how can we help farmers adapt and improve resilience. She comes at the climate work with an attitude similar to Vilsack. There's an upside for agriculture to be more resilient, as well as in our long-term view that we're going to be recognized in the marketplace. We're delivering what the world wants, one which is low carbon intensity, renewable energy and bioproducts, and lower carbon foods. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, now we're going to change directions, talk about livestock news, as the USDA is out with its new look at the cattle and feedlot activity. Gary Crawford has more.
What story does last week's USDA Cattle on Feed report give us?
The main story that we see right now is that placements are still very strong, despite the fact that cattle inventories are relatively tight.
USDA livestock analyst Michael McConnell says producers continued to place more animals into feedlots during October, 5% more than October a year ago.
you know, it appears that strong prices for feeder cattle as well as strong demand for beef is continuing to encourage producers to place their cattle in feedlots and have them fed out for beef production.
And like they say in the detective shows, follow the money. That's what Michael and his team are doing.
The key price that we look at within our committee is the Oklahoma City price for feeder cattle between 750 and 800 pounds. In the month of October, that price averaged about $254 per hundredweight. And that's about 4% higher than what it was last year. And last year's prices were pretty high as well.
Yes, they were. So producers appear to be continuing to place more cattle into feedlots, leading analysts to surmise
there's essentially a smaller pool of animals to draw from for both the purposes of placing animals into feedlots and being fed out for fed beef production, as well as the pool of cows available for breeding.
Now, remember, we already started 2024 with what Michael says was
the smallest total inventories that we've had for decades.
So that begs the question,
how many more head of cattle are there outside of feedlots still out on pasture, basically ready to come for placements into the feedlots?
Well, we're going to have to wait until the end of January for the answer to that and a lot of related questions. That's when USDA puts out its major cattle inventory report.
And that will basically provide an estimate of the total cattle inventories in the United States as of January 1. We'll also get a breakdown of different classes of cattle, how many cows are estimated out in the country, how many cows for beef production purposes versus how many cows for dairy production purposes, how many heifers are being retained for replacement for both beef and dairy, as well as the 2024 calf crop will be our first opportunity to get a hard number on how many calves were born during 2024.
USDA will spend most of January gathering data for this report, which will be released January 31st. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.